Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Tuesday, March 19th. It is indeed Kale and Company. You're right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Always live on the free Odyssey app and, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210, the phone number. On social media at 1210WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Don Stenslin with the news. Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board. Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. Action-packed Tuesday show. It is a historical, monumental day for free speech. And a lot of I told you so's. Gregory, good morning. How are you?
Hey, buddy. How are you? I got to say, I was watching last night. So I usually don't watch regular TV, like network TV. Mm-hmm. Oprah Winfrey did a weight loss special last night where she was talking about the struggles of weight and how the society shames fat people. Mm-hmm. And she did it in front of a studio audience and told her story about how the first time she saw herself on the TV Guide cover and Mr. Blackwell. Remember Mr. Blackwell? Best Dressed and Worst Dressed. And he said something about how she was dumpy and frumpy. And
That's got to be 35, 40 years ago, right?
Yeah, it was 1990.
Okay.
That's when she realized that she was fat.
Overweight, yeah.
And hence the ballooning of her weight up and down and up and down.
She's been battling weight since she was battling Phil Donahue in the TV ratings wars.
It was fascinating to see, honestly, because she's very captivating. Like she's very comfortable in front of a camera, uh-huh, in front of a studio audience. But boy, I'm still trying to figure out what I saw last night.
And what channel was this on?
It was on ABC.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it was, I don't know.
So now we know how you spent your Monday night. I was watching wrestling and all sorts of other nonsense. Tried to get away from the news because there is so much of it, and we have a lot to get to this morning. I will try to make it through the show. I don't know if I've got, like, post-nasal drip or a little strep or something.
A little strep? I don't think you have a little strep, can you?
I don't know. I've got tea. I've got throat lozenges.
Take Advil.
I've got, like, something running down the back of my throat like a faucet. It's kind of annoying. But we'll make it happen.
Yeah.
All right. A lot of good things to get to today. Massive First Amendment case when it comes to free speech with the Supreme Court. That'll be the big take this morning. And wait until you hear what the chief concern is for the newest member of SCOTUS. This will make you like, want to go insane and rip off your ears and I just go completely postal that one of the nine Supreme Court justices actually had the audacity to say what she said yesterday. We'll get to that. We also have proof of election interference, not just in 2020, but since 2008, courtesy of a media watchdog company. Also, Keith Olbermann. It might be time to put him in a straitjacket. We'll get to that. A study confirms that wokeness is actually a disease.
Yeah.
Something we've also been telling you for a long time. And speaking of SCOTUS, we will get to Texas and the border. Very busy time of the year for the Supreme Court, as they will have a lot of monumental landmark cases in front of them before they break for the summer. Also, Neil Young returning to Spotify after his Joe Rogan boycott.
Wait. Joe Rogan is still on Spotify, though.
That's correct.
Okay, but he's not exclusive, so...
But Neil's picked up the ball, and he's come back home to Spotify.
Of course, because if you want people to hear your music, you have to go where the people are.
That's correct. Plus, we have a loaded cut sheet and much more, including some clips of the interview, the debut, the first and only episode of the Don Lemon Show with Elon Musk. So this will be a loaded show. All right, 6:06, let's get to a Tuesday edition of A Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, The Big Take this morning is brought to you by United Tire. The Big Take, SCOTUS, social media, speech, and Sue. Lost in all of the mainstream hysteria from Donald Trump's bloodbath comments, taken out of context over the weekend, and the Fani Willis ruling on Friday, is perhaps the most important First Amendment case of free speech in modern American history. I'm not embellishing here. On Friday, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously that members of the public can, in certain cases, sue government officials who either block or mute them on social media. So you, the citizens of America, who elect these public officials and pay their salaries, can't be silenced by them on your social media platform of choice. The justices determined that whether a lawsuit is justified will depend not only on who the blocker is, but whether they acted using an official account where government business is conducted. So politician X with his official verified government Twitter feed, for example. According to NBC News, Justice Amy Coney Barrett wrote in the ruling that social media accounts be viewed as official channels of communication when the user, quote, possessed actual authority to speak on the state's behalf and, quote, purported to exercise that authority. Quote, in some circumstances, the post's content and function might make the plaintiff's argument a slam dunk, such as when the account is marked as official. The ruling comes in response to two cases out of Michigan and California. One, where a school district board of trustees members were blocking parents from commenting on their Facebook page and Twitter posts. The lower courts sided with the parents. In the other case, a city manager, a woman who posted criticism in response to his explanation of the city's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. In this case, the lower court sided with the government official. One ruling in favor of the citizens, one in favor of the government. Now enter the Supreme Court of the United States. Yesterday was a huge day for the court of last resort in the highest court of the land. Ketanji Brown Jackson is a Biden appointee to the Supreme Court. I want you to listen to this absolutely insane explanation as she says that she is concerned that the Constitution is limiting the power of the government. Listen and watch this.
Justice Jackson?
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods. I mean, what would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, you know, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done. And so I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. So can you help me? Because I'm really worried about that, because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective, and you're saying that the government can't interact with the source of those problems.
And, Your Honor, I understand that instinct, and I guess what I tell you is the...
That audio from oral arguments in the pending landmark case of Murthy v. Missouri. Is Ketanji Brown Jackson brain dead? The whole point of the First Amendment in the Bill of Rights is to prevent the government from stifling the speech of its citizens. And she's concerned about this. I don't like social media bans at all. Censorship, suppression, especially over the last 3 or 4 years with what happened on Twitter prior to Elon Musk purchasing it and rebranding it as X. But those Silicon Valley big tech social media giants, they can absolutely cancel you as a private company. But the government, as the founding fathers instructed and intended in the First Amendment, cannot. It is patently absurd that supposedly one of the 9 sharpest legal minds on the planet is having a hard time comprehending this. Legal scholar Jonathan Turley of Fox News had a great thread on social media yesterday as he chronicled the legal proceedings in real time as they unfolded. He tweeted the following: "The oral arguments in Murthy v. Missouri are about to begin on the censorship of social media by the government. It could prove one of the most important free speech cases in the history of the court. Brian Fletcher was first up for the Biden administration to seek to defend the role of government in working to censor social media. Justice Sotomayor had a great question to the government on why an injunction to prevent it from coercing companies or speakers is a material injury to the government." Turley goes on to say, and he continues, Justice Alito just dropped a haymaker. Quote from Alito, "Wow, I cannot imagine federal officials taking that approach to the print media. If you did that to them, what do you think the reaction would be? Would you try to do this to the New York Times?" End quote. Well, Justice Alito, I, Nick Kale, can sit here and answer that for you. No, they would not. The Biden administration would never censor the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, or MSNBC. They would never pressure or coerce any left-wing media outlet or publication. Just those who are free thinkers, free speech absolutists, conservatives, Republicans, and those who might be or are skeptical of their government. Now for a different point of view, the Associated Press arrived at this conclusion yesterday. Quote, "Supreme Court seems favorable to Biden administration over efforts to combat social media posts." The AP writes the following: "The justices seemed broadly skeptical during nearly 2 hours of arguments that a lawyer from Louisiana, Missouri, and other parties presented, accusing officials in the Democratic administration of leaning on the social media platforms to unconstitutionally squelch conservative points of view when it pertains to COVID-19 and election security," end quote. The court's decision in this and other social media cases could set standards for free speech moving forward in the digital age. The states argue that the White House communication staffers, the Surgeon General, the FBI, and the U.S. Cybersecurity Agency are among those who coerce changes in online content on social media platforms. And look, we know this to be true and to be a practice that this administration has used in the past. Look no further than the Hunter Biden laptop story in the New York Post and the lack of dissemination of the story on social media. Quote, "It is a very, very threatening thing when the federal government uses the power and authority of the government to block people from exercising their freedom of speech. That was Louisiana Attorney General Liz Merle, who said that in a video that her office posted online. Free speech advocates say the court should use this case to draw an appropriate line between the government's acceptable use of the bully pulpit and coercive threats to free speech. The government has no authority to threaten platforms into censoring protected speech. That is also from the Missouri Attorney General. A decision in this monumental landmark case is expected by early summer. So the left likes to call it content moderation. I like to call it the stifling of free speech and the squelching of the marketplace of ideas. Others also call it election interference. The left will call the book bans by Republicans as censorship and the suppression of free speech. But if you actually do your research, the actual reality is this. They just want to move the sexually explicit books from one room to another to protect children and minors from this perversion. If you think things are going to cool down this summer, you are sadly mistaken. Free speech in the digital age on the line this summer with the Supreme Court of the United States. And it's just heating up. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the big take this morning is brought to you by United Tire. United Tire and Service has a pot of gold waiting for you now through April 2nd. All tires are on sale, plus extra savings of $80 on all Michelin tires and an instant $40 from United Tire. Visit unitedtire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. 855-839-1210 is how you climb in. On social media at 1210WPHT. And of course, you can get us on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Hit the like and subscribe button and be a part of the Kale and Company comment community. We'll get some thoughts and reaction to that on the other side, as well as a very interesting revelation. Once again, we were right. The details on the election interference that's been going on since 2008. How about that? Kale and Company, back after this. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It all starts on Thursday, 12:15. The men's college basketball tournament in March. You know what it is. For legal reasons, I can't say it. From upsets to buzzer beaters, nothing compares to college basketball in March. But sometimes you're on the wrong end of those moments. Hopefully you filled out your bracket. That's why FanDuel is giving everyone a no-sweat bet from now until March 20th. That's tomorrow. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get bonus bets back if your bet doesn't win. So you can't lose. You can even use your no-sweat bet on a college basketball parlay. I love the FanDuel app. Go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg if you don't already have an account. Make every moment more with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. It's America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210WPHT, 21 and over, present in PA. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, as we roll on live here on this Tuesday morning. Nick Kale, Greg Stocker, Dawn will be along shortly. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube.
What time do we start? Oh, sorry.
Let me check.
We start at 6 a.m. I joke. I kid.
All sorts of good stuff today. I can't believe that I am living in a world where a Supreme Court justice is literally concerned over the First Amendment making it harder for the government to censor speech. That is literally the point of the First Amendment, so that we the people can share our points of view. Because, you know, we say this all the time. Everybody has a podcast these days. Everybody has a YouTube channel. But the reality is most people do not. So since most people don't have a platform like a radio show, a TV show, a podcast, a YouTube channel, how do you voice your opinion in the modern digital age? You go to social media. You download Twitter. You download Facebook. You download Instagram, whatever, Truth, Rumble. And you go on there and you share your views, whether somebody likes it or not, whether it's partially true or not. The government should never be able to step in and sit there and say, hey, Twitter, I need you to ban this person or block this hashtag or shut this down because it goes against our preferred agenda. Yet that is what we have going on here. And Ketanji Brown Jackson, who is the newest appointed member of the Supreme Court under President Joe Biden, 53 years old. Oh, by the way, Harvard educated, both undergrad and law school. So I got to tell you, even more of a reason to dislike Harvard University. They've had a ton of bad press in the last 6 months, going back to October or November when we had the Claudine Gay situation with everything going on in the Middle East. And now you have Ketanji Brown Jackson throwing up this stink bomb yesterday at this oral argument, which so many people were just flabbergasted by, that she actually had the nerve to say, basically, we need more government intervention when it comes to you peasants and peons sharing your views on social media. So if you have thoughts on that, you can certainly jump in at 855-839-1210. I mean, let's face it, this is a free speech station, and many of you, not all of you, but many of you, I think, in this audience usually reach out to us via Twitter or the YouTube chat or some means of electronic communication. And your government wants to make it more difficult for you to share views that don't align, let's call it what it is, with the left or with big tech.
Do you want to hear more from Ketanji Brown Jackson?
Yeah.
We do have more from her.
Okay.
Phil, if you want to grab cut nine here, she says that there may be circumstances in which the government could prohibit certain speech on the internet or otherwise.
Mm.
Cut nine, Phil, go.
Well, whether or not the government can do this, this is something I took up with Mr. Fletcher, depends on the application of our First Amendment jurisprudence, and there may be circumstances in which the government could prohibit certain speech on the internet or otherwise. I mean, do you disagree that we would have to apply strict scrutiny and determine whether or not there is a compelling interest and how the government has tailored its regulation?
Certainly, Your Honor. I think at the end of every First Amendment analysis, you'll have the strict scrutiny framework in which, you know, in some national security hypos, for example, the government may well be able to demonstrate a compelling interest, may well be able to demonstrate.
All right. Not every situation will in which the government engages in conduct that ultimately has some effect on speech necessarily becomes a First Amendment violation, correct?
Maybe not necessarily, Your Honor. I guess the top line question I would ask is, has the government set out to abridge the freedom of speech? And in this case, you see that time and time again, because if you control...
That's not the test for First Amendment violations.
Your Honor, this flows from the plain text of the First Amendment, right?
No, I understand, but we have a test for a determination of whether or not the First Amendment is actually violated. So in certain situations, the government can actually require that speech be suppressed if there's a compelling interest, right?
It can, Your Honor, and I guess what I would say is that the courts below never got to strict scrutiny because the government never raised this. This has never been litigated. The question in this case is whether at the front end the government itself has undertaken
action. It's the coercion, it's the state action, right? That's the question in this case.
And I would urge the court to address the state action issue just like you addressed it in Bantam Books. Use that term four times in Bantam Books.
And could I just understand, because it seems like an extremely expansive argument, I must say.
There you go. So let's break down compelling governmental interest. I don't know about you, but if the government says this is our compelling interest, that should scare the you-know-what out of you. So let's go through some maybe compelling governmental interests, like Russia, 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 or 100% safe and effective. Hunter's laptop was Russian disinformation. COVID came from a wet market. The 2020 election was the most secure U.S. election of all time. Very fine people. The border is secure. Jim Crow 2.0. Inflation is transitory. Zelensky is Churchill. Defund the police for safer streets. On and on and on and on down the list. Defenders of democracy. Trump is a threat to democracy. Are those the compelling governmental interests that Ketanji Brown Jackson and other members of the Supreme Court of the United States are trying to ensure the protection of against the speech of American citizens on social media? Are those the ones we're referring to? I'm just thinking out loud here. 855-839-1210, the number. But from the book of We Told You So, very interesting story that came out yesterday as the headline on many sites, Google has interfered, quote, interfered with elections 41 times over the last 16 years. That according to Media Research Center. I thought this was very compelling, not just from a 2020 standpoint, but we're going to go back to 2016. We're also going to go back to 2012, and we will look at 2008 as well. This story, Fox News and the New York Post with this. Google has interfered with major elections in the United States 41 times over the last 16 years. Quote, MRC researchers have found 41 times where Google interfered in elections over the last 16 years, and its impact has surged dramatically, making it ever more harmful to democracy. Quote, in every case, Google harmed the candidates, regardless of party, who threatened its left-wing candidate of choice. That is a quote from MRC Free Speech America Vice President Dan Schneider and editor Gabriella Paraso, which they wrote in a summary of their findings. Quote, from the mouths of Google executives, the tech giant let slip what was never meant to be made public, that Google uses its, quote, great strength and resources and reach to advance its leftist values, they continued. Quote, Google's outsized influence on information technology, the body politic, and American elections became evident way back in 2008 after failing to prevent then-candidate for President Donald Trump from being inaugurated following the 2016 election. Google has made since clear to any discerning observer that it has been and will continue interfering in America's elections, end quote. Google issued a pushback, insisting, quote, that it has a clear business incentive to keep both sides happy and that safeguards ensure non-biased and accurate search results. Although that is not true, according to MRC Free Speech America, as they also point out that Google's artificial intelligence, Gemini, quote, refuses to answer questions that are damaging pertaining to President Joe Biden. And then lastly, just to show you their research, going back the last four election cycles for the general election, the group's research found that from 2008 to 2024, just last month, actually, February of 2024, that Google has utilized its power to help push to electoral victory, quote, the most liberal candidates, regardless of party. And by the way, this does not mean just Republicans are being censored. I will explain in a moment. While targeting the opponents of the most liberal candidate for censorship. Examples include appearing to favor Barack Obama over John McCain in 2008, favoring Barack Obama over Mitt Romney in 2012, refusing to correct a Google bomb, not even sure what that is, a Google bomb that smeared then leading GOP primary candidate for president Rick Santorum, local guy, using its algorithm to exclude autofill results that were potentially damaging to Hillary Clinton in 2016, and not doing the same for then candidates Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. So Bernie's on the wrong end of the censorship stick and working with partners to help likely pro-Clinton Latino voters go to the polls that same year. And then lastly, another example cited by the MRC included, and maybe this is why she's left the Democratic Party and would be Trump's VP if offered the position, they disabled Tulsi Gabbard's ad account just as she became the most searched candidate in Google history following the first Democratic Party primary debate in 2020, also suppressing news critical of Joe Biden, concealing most Republican campaign websites for the 12 competitive Senate races in 2022. We recall the midterms of two falls ago, the red wave that never was, and aiding Joe Biden in 2024 by burying in its search results the campaign websites of every one of his significant opponents. So when we talk about election interference, rigged elections or anything like that. This, I think, is where you have a legitimate, provable gripe. This is where you sit there and you say, well, you have a media watchdog company in Media Research Center, the MRC, that goes through all of these analytical data points, and they go in and they say, well, something looks off here. The algorithms seem heavily skewed in one direction or the other. And ask yourself the question, why is it that everybody who is super left or is the leading liberal candidate is placed high and mighty, and everybody else, whether you're Republican or you're a Bernie Sanders, you're a Tulsi Gabbard or somebody else, that is not the preferred choice of big tech, mainstream media, on down the list? Why are they so suppressed and buried? Tulsi Gabbard, the most searched ever on Google from the Democratic Party primary from 4 years ago, and she gets disabled on social media. There you go. There's your proof. We have a lot more of the I told you so's coming up as well. Just to quickly wrap up the segment, I do want to give two updates on the Trump front. First of all, Trump came out yesterday after our conversation on this show, as we were talking a ton about the bloodbath comments when Mary was in yesterday for Dawn, and Trump has come out and posted on social media the following. This was on Truth. Quote, "The fake news media and their Democrat partners in the destruction of our nation pretended to be shocked at my use of the word bloodbath, even though they fully understood that I was simply referring to imports allowed by crooked Joe Biden, which are killing the automobile industry." Trump went on to say that the United Auto Workers, but not their leadership, fully understand what I mean. Trump continued by saying yesterday on Truth Social, "With the electric car mandate being pushed by Biden, there soon won't be any cars made in the USA unless I'm elected president, in which case auto manufacturing will thrive like never before. Hashtag MAGA 2024. That was from Trump on Truth. And then also the other update, remember on Friday, Fonnie Willis, we found out that Scott McAfee, the judge in the Fulton County case, basically said, we're going to split the baby here. We're going to give Fonnie Willis an ultimatum. Either you step down and resign from the case, or you fire your boyfriend, Nathan Wade. We know that she fired Nathan Wade. And I asked, you know, yesterday on air, just, you know, kind of speaking out loud, I wonder if the Trump camp will appeal. Well, Trump and his co-defendants have requested to appeal the Georgia judge's ruling to keep Fonnie Willis on the case. The motion was filed yesterday on behalf of Trump and several of the co-defendants, including Rudy Giuliani, Mark Meadows, Robert Chealy, Michael Roman, David Schaefer, Harrison Floyd, and Kathleen Latham. They go on to say in their motion, in its order, the court found that District Attorney Fonnie Willis's actions had created an appearance of impropriety and an odor of mendacity that lingers in this case, as well as the continuing possibility that an outsider could reasonably think that District Attorney Willis is not exercising her independent professional judgment, totally free of any compromising influences, the motion states. Despite this, the court declined to disqualify District Attorney Willis, finding that eliminating only the special assistant district attorney would cure the lingering appearance of impropriety. The motion adds that defendants believe that the relevant case law requires dismissal of the case, or at the very least, the disqualification of the district attorney and her entire office under the facts that exist here. Lastly, saying, given these facts and the current state of case law, the Court of Appeals should speak definitively to this outcome determinative issue now. So we'll see. I don't think that upon appeal this will work. I personally think she should be removed from the case. I think she perjured herself. I think her lack of objectivity as an officer of the court is seriously in doubt here. And the Trump team will request that appeal.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to work.
Any chance they had of getting her out of there was thrown out by this judge.
I would agree.
We knew that there was going to be some sort of an appeal on this, and that's really what it is.
But yeah.
I don't think it's going to be successful.
And we said
successful.
This. We said this for weeks on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we were like, well, Judge McAfee has donated to Fonnie Willis's campaign. He has also donated to Brian Kemp for governor, so he has given some money to Democrats. He's given some money to Republicans, very small denominations. I think the Fonnie Willis donation was like $150.
Yeah.
It was very minuscule. Mm-hmm. But this guy, as we mentioned yesterday, I think Mary made a really good point, that Scott Willis is up for re-election as a judge.
He is.
And he's in blue Fulton County.
Yep.
Politics.
It's 100% politics. And, you know, we played that clip yesterday of Simone Sanders on MSNBC basically saying that it's racist and it's sexist. That you know, it's not the media creating this narrative.
No.
It's the fact that she was banging Nathan Wade.
She could have had sex with any man on the planet, just not Nathan Wade.
It's unbelievable.
But
it's our fault for bringing it up.
Right, right. I'm sexist, I'm racist, because you slept with the one guy, in this case, you should have no personal relationship with.
I would like to say one more time too. We were the only show, I believe, that over the last couple of weeks said on these airwaves that it was not a slam dunk that Fonnie Willis was going to be removed from
right.
this. When everybody else would say, "Yep, she's off, it's done. Georgia case is done." We said, "Hold on, just make sure you don't don't get ahead of yourself."
Yep.
So a lot of times when people get mad at us for saying things how can you say that? I can't believe you say that. We're just telling you how we feel, and we're telling you the truth.
Yeah.
We're telling you the truth. And I know that's not what a lot of people on Twitter do these days. They like to tell you things you want to hear, so you click and you watch their videos.
Are you saying there's social media grifters out there?
I'm just saying that there's a lot of people that I'm not naming any names, but take one anecdotal person and say something to the effect of, she voted for Barack Obama, or she voted for Barack Obama and Joe Biden, and this year she's voting for Trump, so therefore Trump is going to win the election.
Right.
Is basically what this individual said.
Yeah.
And if you believe that, then you're gullible.
One person does not equal
exactly
the entire masses.
Now, I'm on a record right now saying on what's today, March 19th
of
2024, if the election was held today, I do believe Donald Trump would win. But there's a long time to go before November, long time to go. So declaring it over in March of 2024 is foolish.
Yes. And also,
and if you believe it, you're
not learning from the polls of the last 2 years.
Exactly.
I mean, how many polls have been accurate in the last 2 years? If they're wrong again, and they're massively wrong again, I think we should just do away with all of them, right? I mean, they're not even, they shouldn't even be fodder for a talk show anymore.
Yeah.
I might not even acknowledge them in 2026 if I'm still alive.
Just be careful of the people you follow on Twitter, because a lot of them just want your clicks.
There you go.
That's all I'm saying.
855-839-1210. And as Greg says, that don't forget to click follow, click subscribe, and follow us on the Odyssey app and on YouTube and on Twitter and Instagram. We'll come back and get to one sick pup. He said a lot of things over the last handful of months or years that have made, you've kind of been wondering, does this guy need like an intervention? Does he need a straitjacket? Does he need counseling, medication? And I say that in all seriousness. I'm not mocking anybody that has any mental issue, but this guy is legitimately a sick pup. We'll give you the details as we wrap up the first hour next here on Kale & Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Live here on a Tuesday morning, Nikhail Gregstocker. Dawn will be along momentarily.
Yeah, for those worrying where she is, we're giving her a pass this morning.
Yes.
She's,
she'll be
here. There was a reason she wasn't here yesterday. We're giving her a pass.
Yes. So to go easy on her, folks.
Yes. We start at 6 a.m., joke.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
Yeah.
We're not going to go easy on Keith Olbermann. Like, I have no problem if you don't like a politician. If you don't like Joe Biden, if you don't like Donald Trump, if you don't like Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, whatever, that's good. This is America. You can like and love and hate whoever you want. But I'm not in the business of rooting for anybody or hoping for anybody to be killed, okay? I'm not in the, I wouldn't mind if he was assassinated business.
Wow.
But Keith Olbermann, actually is the washed-up, lonely hack, formerly of MSNBC and ESPN, who now lives in Central Park, New York, in a beautiful high-rise condo with a couple of cats and no female interaction. Just can't help but root for the demise of Donald Trump. And honestly, if you think about it, when we talk about TDS and Trump derangement syndrome, I don't know that anybody, even Nancy Pelosi, even Hillary Clinton, has it worse than Keith Olbermann. There's no vaccine for it. There's no booster. There's no holistic approach to cure yourself. When you get it to the level of which Keith Olbermann has it, there is no hope for you. And he is hoping that Donald Trump ends up assassinated. Let me put it in the proper context for you. As Olbermann, he was referring to the Biden-Harris X account, flagging a clip of Trump saying that he has been persecuted worse than any president in history, including Abraham Lincoln. Quote, Trump says he has been treated worse than Abraham Lincoln, who was assassinated, the Biden campaign account posted on their Twitter feed on Saturday, to which Keith Olbermann linked the post and replied saying, there's always the hope. Olbermann, obviously a far-left personality known for his anti-Trump rhetoric and inflammatory comments, has also, as we've talked about the Supreme Court a lot lately, recently called for the dissolution of the Supreme Court. So, yeah, you're not talking about defunding the police. We're not talking about getting rid of the FBI. We're talking about dissolving the highest court in the land, all because Keith Olbermann didn't like the fact that they ruled 9-0 in favor of Trump remaining on the ballot. To which, after Olbermann made this post, one account responded to Olbermann's post, suggesting that the commentator's account should be, quote, permanently suspended for appearing to endorse someone killing Donald Trump. Now, I don't know if that rises to the level of being booted from social media. I just know that you have to be a sick individual. As much as I dislike Joe Biden, I think he's a fraud of a person, as a lot of politicians are. I think his policies are atrocious. Do I laugh when he trips over a sandbag? Yes. Do I want Joe Biden to be killed? No. Do I want Joe Biden to die? No. Do I want Joe Biden to be hurt or to be sick or to be terminally ill? No. I don't wish any ill will on any politician, regardless of how much I dislike and or maybe even hate some of them. But Keith Olbermann, can you get it together, brother? Like, I mean, as somebody who grew up in the 90s, thinking you and Dan Patrick and Tony Bruno and some of the original ESPN entertainers were who I aspired to. Like, I was like, man, I would love to be Keith Olbermann one day. How great is this? He sits in front of a television prompter and goes over the highlights from last night's football games. I would kill to do that. That's not work.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's a skill set, but it's not work.
Yeah.
And he's just devolved into a guy who is, look, there's a lot of left-wingers out there that can gain employment. I don't even think he's employable.
No, there's zero chance he is.
I don't think there's a network with any credibility that would say, hey, let's bring in Keith on a one-year deal.
He does a podcast, which I'm sure you can get on any place that you get podcasts. But no, there's no company, I believe, that would hire him because he's look what he's saying.
I know. I mean, he doesn't look healthy either.
No.
Looks like he hasn't gotten outside in 4 years.
Yeah, I know.
What a deranged guy.
Yeah.
I hope Donald Trump gets assassinated. There's always hope he could be the next Abraham Lincoln.
Okay. You would think he would get flagged for that, but I guess not, huh?
Yeah. I mean, people want him suspended. We'll see if Elon Musk does anything about it. But I'm not really sure if it rises to the level of banning because me personally, I'm at the point where I'm just anti-ban, but just ignore him, just mute him, and maybe I won't even bring him up on the show anymore.
There you go.
There we go. All right, hour two is on the way, and more I told you so's, as a study confirms that woke people are more likely to be unhappy, anxious, and depressed, a new study suggests. Kale and Company, hour two is next.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.